What is the purpose of the Christian life? What has Jesus saved us for? As believers, are we simply biding our time on this earth until we get to heaven? Or could there be a higher calling on our lives? A kingdom calling? We believe there is. Indeed, Jesus has called his followers to a meaningful purpose and mission for this life. It's a life-changing, global perspective that has been entrusted to all Christians. In this series, we'll take a closer look at what that could mean for each one of us. Join us for the Kingdom Calling.
Hi, everybody. I'm Steve McInerney, one of the pastors here at The Rock. And I was just thinking while we were singing together, I just really want y'all to know that I love you. I really enjoy worshiping with you, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of a church family where God's at work. And we are, and I prayed for all of you during worship. I was just thinking, Lord, this is just so special. We get to come together, we get to sing to you, we get to look at your word together, and I get to do it with all of you, my brothers and sisters. So I just want you to know that I, myself, and all the other pastors, we care about you. We really do, and we're thankful to be doing life with all of you. We're going to continue on with the Kingdom Calling series that we're calling it, and I'm excited for that. Brian kicked us off with our purpose was, if you remember, if you haven't seen any of these, you can go online and watch them, but blessed to be a blessing. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. He did a great job of kicking off the series with that. And then Caleb kicked in with our passion as God's glory, that God's glory should be what drives us, what our passion be applied to God's glory. And last weekend, Bill came with a great message, our mandate of God's kingdom. And maybe remember the three R's. I just really appreciate him giving us the three R's so we can remember that. What God's kingdom is, the realm, the rule, and the reign of God. I thought that was really good. That was really clever. And today, we're going to continue on with part four, and it's our mission, living as a witness. I like this explanation of witness, and I'd like you to read it with me. It's a little bit long, but read it with me. It's witness. A witness is what you are far more than it is something that you do. And I just want to pause there for a moment. I know we're just getting started here, but I want to get your attention. I don't want you to miss this first line. A witness is what you are far more than it is something that you do. By public testimony in the face of hostility, ordinary people accomplish far more than merely affirming the truth of Christ. Witnesses establish the value of following Christ. Their persuasive power is not only because their words match their life, their words and their life match those of Christ himself. It is as if Christ stands to testify before the world. I like that definition. Here's an important verse for tonight. Matthew 24, verse 14. Read it with me. And this from Jesus. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. What a profound verse. And it really encapsulates what we're going to be talking about tonight. With our testimony, or witness, if you will, with our testimony, our witness to the world, we get to be involved in, like Bill talked about last week, inviting people into the kingdom. Just telling people, this was happened to me, I want that to happen to you too, and just inviting people to come into the kingdom. And God wants all people, groups throughout the world to know him. You know, this verse he refers to all nations, really referring to all people groups, even our nations. Wouldn't you agree? There are many people groups that make up our nation. And around the world, oh my goodness, there's all kinds of people groups. So God calls us, little old me and you, to bring a testimony, to bring a witness to all people groups all over the world. That seems like such a big thing. You know why? Because it is. And only God can do that. And he does do that through us. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, some days I just want the end to come. I just want to be there at the end, because I've read Revelation, and I'm looking forward to the end. And I want to, you know, someday I don't want to do more than just read the last page. I want to see, and I will get to see the end come. And if you know Jesus, so will you. You will be there. We'll get to see what the Lord will do with all the things that we're involved in. So today I just want to look at four ways to live as a witness. Of course, there's plenty more, but there's just four that I'm going to kind of talk about a little bit. And I'm going to pray again. I invite you to pray with me. Let's ask God to really, really speak to our hearts. Just like I prayed when we were worshiping together, I prayed that God would really show himself to you and to myself more intimately tonight, that we go away really having encountered Jesus. So I'm going to pray, God, I do pray to you. I love you. I thank you that that you care about each and every one of us, Lord, and that you want us to know you even more intimately than we did when we walked in here. Father, I pray you just reveal yourself in a special way. Lord, we're all so different. We need to hear from you and you alone. Would your spirit move tonight and really just help us? I pray you just really help us tonight, Lord. And I thank you for all you do, and I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So the first way to live as a witness, let's start here. Have compassion for people. Now, that seems pretty elementary, but it's important to have compassion for people. And life comes at us, and sometimes, at least for me, that can be difficult. I like this verse from Proverbs. I think it's sobering. Proverbs 24:11, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling towards slaughter. Have compassion for people. Hold back those who are stumbling towards slaughter. And you know what? Some of you are very good at this. You're very good at this compassion thing. You really look for opportunities to help people, and you're quick to tend to people. Many of you have nurses' hearts who really just want to help others. You know, I'm not always necessarily wired that way myself. I'm thankful that many of you are good at this, and I think the Lord's helping me and maybe helping me grow in this area by breaking me down a little bit, it seems like, many of the times. You know, to my shame, I can relate to the people that cross to the other side of the road. When we talk about the Good Samaritan, most of you know the story about the Good Samaritan. Gosh, to my shame, I think at times I could be that person that goes to the other side of the road. Remember the story, we'll look at it a little bit. So a Jewish man gets beat to where they thought he was dead. So some bandits rob this Jewish man. They rob him and they beat him to where they thought he was dead, so they just left him in the road. So here's this guy, beaten, robbed, laying in the middle of the road, and we come to Luke. Chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road. What road? The road where the beat-up guy was laying. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. You know, lots of times we can go the other side of the road. And I think we need God to help us in that, even in everyday life. And we're all looky-loos when there's an accident, aren't we? It's like, look at, oh, they got a phone, they'll be okay. I pray God would help us to be people that pay attention to others, who care about people's eternity. You know, we can become hard-hearted and judgmental. Let's just come clean. We can. maybe not everybody, but, you know, people carry a fallen nature. So we encounter people all the time that are sin-filled. They carry a fallen nature. So once we come to Christ, we don't want to be around that anymore. You know, they don't know what they don't want. They don't know. When I was younger, I worked in a chicken confinement place. You can imagine what that was like. But we cleaned them. So I cleaned the chicken coop, if you will, but it was giant. So after a day's work, oftentimes that pneumonia, that awful smell of chicken manure, it would like permeate into our skin. So if I would go out for a date afterwards or go somewhere, it was still there. And people would go, man, you stink. And it was embarrassing, and I really didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do. You know, oftentimes when we encounter people that don't know Jesus, it's like that the stench of their sin just bothers us. And it irritates us, and we can get a hard heart and just I don't want to be around that. You know, last night Caleb had his wallet and phone and keys stolen at the park. We're playing frisbee, having fun, sets his stuff down, guy comes along, steals it, and runs away. And so we're all looking out there, where is he? Let me at him. I want to tie him up and put him on the railroad tracks. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, guy needs the gospel. He needs the gospel of God. He needs Jesus. And my mind doesn't always go there. And I think we can come like that in our witness sometimes. We can be hard-hearted. We must be men and women that are willing to go beyond the stink. willing to go beyond the sin and help people. Tell them, what, you know what? I used to stink too. Can I help you with that? God has really helped me in this particular area. He's the one that can help you. It's not my silver bullet, but I know that God can help you with that. And I think that's the attitude that you and I need to learn how to take. That's the attitude Jesus had. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. They were once Christless. Christ came, and people can now know Christ. And Jesus knew that. That's why he came. He came to seek and save the lost. He came for that sin problem, for that sin stench. He knew it was awful. He had to come and take care of it, and he did. I like this quote from Billy Graham. It says, "The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and helpless." That's praising God. That's wanting to share Jesus with people. That's praising God. That's giving God glory. That's we're blessed to be a blessing. That's all of it. When we look at every single person in a way, well, how would God look at this person? He'd want them to know him, no matter how wrecked they look or where they come from. God wants all to come to know him. You know, Harley Tallman, he writes an article for the Perspectives class with this title, Become Like, Remain Like. And he's referring to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Be All Things to All Men. In some cultures, it's extremely challenging to confess Christ, to come to Christ. For some people to admit, you know, I think what you're saying makes sense, and I want to know this Jesus of yours. In some places, that's dangerous. And not always even the act itself of maybe stepping over the line. Great inroads have been made because of technology, so people are responding to the gospel all over the place. But then living in the particular culture that they want, that they might be in, that's anti-Christ, it's extremely dangerous for people to live out their faith in Christ. We see it all the time, but we can't let that stop us from telling people about Jesus. We must continue on. I like this verse from 1 Corinthians referring to the one I just talked about. It's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. When I think of the Apostle Paul, I don't necessarily think of him as being a weakling. He seemed like a warrior for Christ. But he says, I share their weaknesses. I share in that. Become like, remain like. You know, I've had many friends over the years that have been ostracized and basically shunned for becoming Bible-believing Christians. Their families didn't want anything to do with them anymore. It's just tragic. It's so hard to witness that. You know, it's so difficult to tell people that families are not necessarily always forever. There are people that are living apart from Christ. That's a difficult conversation to have. When we were in Provo, I had a dear Mormon friend come to our home and visit us. And she wanted to share some things with me. So she came over and we sat out in my front porch. A motherly type, just a sweet gal. Jeannie and I had developed a relationship with her and her husband. And we'd done a number of different things, gone out to dinner and different things with them. But she wanted to help me see things her way. And you know, she came with an agenda, and she wanted me to see things her way. So we sat on the porch there, and I had to just, it was a good intention. She wanted the best for me. But I had to just, in a gentle way, I just had to gently disagree. I don't agree with what you're telling me. That's why I'm not going to do this thing that you've invited me to be a part of. I don't believe our faith lines up. Our belief in Christ, in Jesus, and exactly who Jesus is, that's not the same. You just need to know that. I just had to gently disagree with her. We went on to be friends afterward, but that was difficult. I had to tell her, you know, that being Christless is hopeless, and we are not talking about the same Jesus. And God will do whatever God will do with that conversation. Here's another verse talking about being with people. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. There's a dear family that has become very dear to my wife and I. They helped lead us to Christ back in Loveland, Colorado. And there's a church there that Bill helped plant, and it's where Jeannie and I came to Christ, and my wife Jeannie and I, in Loveland, Colorado. And when we moved away from Loveland to come help start this church, to come plant this church, our small group, the people that were in our small group, they put together a scrapbook and of the things that had happened while we were in Loveland, Colorado. Jeannie and I came to Christ. There's pictures of me being baptized by my friend. There's a picture of me baptizing my wife, Jeannie. There's pictures of small group. We had so many kids. I have over 20 kids in my living room in our small group. It was just chaos, beautiful chaos in our small group there. But just a beautiful memory. And they put this verse at the top of the scrapbook. That's what they put on top of it, on the scrapbook. And the thing is, it was just so, like, 3D to me. It just so, of course you put that verse on there. You guys lived it out in our lives. Thank you so much for this gift. It just speaks of your care for us and your discipleship of us and your paying attention to us and helping us along. And we need to be men and women that do that. As much as it is up to us, we need to learn how to slow down and have compassion for people. The second way to be a living witness. Acknowledge Jesus. Again, seems pretty elementary, but I'm a pretty simple guy. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. So might I just ask you, do you say in your day-to-day life the name of Jesus? Out loud. I mean, it's your coworkers that, I don't know if that's your drinking fountain conversation, but do you say the name of Jesus to your kids, to your wife? Do you wash them with the word? You say, you know, Jesus did that. Jesus is alive. Jesus is over here helping this person. Jesus, help me with that addiction. We need to be men and women that acknowledge it's all about Jesus. But we kind of want to take the credit, don't we? Like, people will come up and say, oh, you have such a beautiful family. Your family is so great. And he's like, yeah. I'm that guy, yeah. It's like, you know what? Jesus, he came into my life. It changed my life. He saved my marriage. He helped me parent my children. Or say, you know, it's so great that the hospital helped you with your cancer. It's like, Jesus healed me. God miraculously healed me. He used doctors and technologies. And if he wants, he'll take me home tomorrow. But Jesus did this. I think we need to be quick to give credit to where credit is due. Oftentimes, you know, that's a great job you have. You know, Jesus is coming alive in my life and really changed the way I look at my work. I don't work for the man anymore. I work for Christ. Everything I do it as if for the Lord. Everything that I do is for him. He's changed me. We need to be men and women as a witness. We're just quick to say, yes, Jesus did it. God did it. God has changed my life. He is. Help me. Sometimes, you know, often when I get to speak, I'll share a verse, and they're all my favorites, but someone will come up and say, Mac, the other night when you shared that verse, it changed my life. I'm like, well, how do you do? That's great. Sometimes I feel like Jake from State Farm. It's like, you know, everybody could come and get some. Everybody. It's available to all of you. And I have come up with a new jingle, if you will. There it is. It's so good. But I'm not very good at singing. So you have to give me grace. As a good father, Jesus is here, okay? You have all heard that jingle. Make Christ a part of your conversation. God is a good father. I like this verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of, don't miss this, his grace. I'm going to go back up a little bit. Of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. As shown in all, don't miss this, he has done for us who are united for Christ. It's all about Jesus. Everything that happens, God does that. Even the hard things. He brought me out of that hard thing. He carried me through it. Need to be men and women that acknowledge where our help comes from. It says in Acts 14 that Paul and Barnabas, they went to different churches on their missionary journeys, and they would encourage the believers. They'd go to different places and they would encourage the believers. They'd get together and pray, and they'd build them up, and they would encourage them. And how do you think they did that? They did it by telling them all that Jesus had done. I can't believe what God did over here. He's even opened up faith to the Gentiles. Can you believe it? People over here, people over there, people are coming to Christ. Jesus is doing miraculous things. He's healing people. And that's how they encourage the churches. And as a family of believers, we should be doing that too. And we do that. Say, look what God did over there. Look what God did over here. Here's that part in Acts. Paul and Barnabas is referring to in Acts 14, verses 26 and 27. And from there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done. They declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. That's how all that God had done. You men and women, as a witness, telling people, look around you. Did you see the sunrise this morning? God just crafted that. The green grass or whatever, the taste, your favorite food, chocolate. God said, you can have chocolate. He didn't have to do that. We need to give him glory for more. When more than just over the teeth, look out gums. I mean, we got to give God credit for what he does. I like this quote from George Washington. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Good old George, I would agree. I would agree. Maybe all of us should just get a cardboard sign. Jesus changed my life. You know, I think I'm going to post this on my Instagram. Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my life. Most of you in here, Jesus has changed your life. Why wouldn't you tell people about that? Jesus has changed us. We are different. The God of the universe decided to set our lives on a different course than we were on. He's changed our life. There is an astounding history of changed lives. All the way from the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, my goodness. All through the Old Testament, changed lives. Coming to the New Testament, changed lives. Paul, Peter, all the apostles, changed lives. God's changed on into us. It's a continuum. God continues to change lives. My story is my story. Your story is your story. Point is, you have a story. You have a story to tell. Just warm up to somebody and kick off conversation and lead it towards, Jesus has changed my life. Holy Spirit does that. It's not up to you. You don't have to be so good at selling the vacuum cleaner. It's just what God has done in your life. It's just a witness. You are a witness. And we talk about the Spirit. God's Spirit lives in us. If you're a believer, God's Spirit lives in you, so he will help you. And we need to put our arms around that. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You know, as a young lad, a young teenager, I participated in Drum and Bugle Corps. You ever heard of that? That's like a drum and bugle band that marches and gets into different competitions. I was with this little small group, Osage, Iowa, the Osage Precisionaires. And we had these gold and yellow uniforms, and we would march. They'd choreograph routines, and we would go to parades, and then we'd go and enter these competitions. And it was very important that you stayed in step. And I'm not necessarily a good dancer or good at staying in step. So what they taught me to do was to hop back into step. So I spent more time, I think, trying to hop back into step than being in step. But the point is, God is continually guiding each of us, each person, into a greater spiritual maturity. That's what in step with the Spirit, into a greater place of level of love and obedience. God is kind enough to send the helper to help us with that. He's promised he'll complete what he began, the good work that he began in us. He's promised, I'll bring that on to fruition. I'll bring that on to completion. We need to be in step with the Spirit. You know, the fruits of the Spirit are undeniably the best witness available. As we display fruits of the Spirit, as God works through us and people see fruits of the Spirit displayed through our lives, it's contagious. It's winsome. People want to be a part of that. I know I do. Display them throughout your life to a watching world. Let's talk a little bit more about live by the Spirit. Did you know that you were a letter written from Christ? I like this from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. A letter from Christ. Does that draw a picture in you? A letter from Christ. I know we're kind of a long ways from letter writing. When I was a young man, we had to learn how to write a letter. Imagine that. On paper. And put a stamp on it. Mail it. And they would teach us, dear so-and-so. And you always had to write your name up, your address and stuff up in a certain place up in the corner. And I wasn't very good at it, but I did write my letters. As a young man, I left home at 17, and I started traveling all over the country. And I wasn't very good at it, but I did send my mom a letter, my mother, a letter once in a while. To my shame, not often enough, but I would send her a letter and try to bring her some humor, just maybe something of what was going on in my life. And so I wrote these letters, and eventually I got married and continued writing letters, and I would write a Christmas letter on occasion. And my mother passed away a year ago last Easter, and I took all my family and my grandkids back to Iowa, where I grew up, for the funeral. And when we were back there, I have four sisters and two half-brothers, but my four sisters, we were at my mother's house, and all my family was there. I don't think everybody's there at the time, but my kids and my grandkids were there. And inside my mother's closet was a corner for each one of us. She had printed off my emails. Everything that I'd ever written, she had saved it. So I had all these Christmas letters and all these things, and my wife read them to my kids, and they laughed, and they really kind of learned some insight to some of my life. And it's like, oh, skip over that part. We are a letter written from Christ by the Holy Spirit. If you know him, you've been sent. You are a witness. Incredible. I just love that. We are a letter written by Christ. I get so excited that I lose my place. It's just so important to me. It's the Holy Spirit that writes that letter. And sometimes we might say, you know, I don't think that I could talk to people about Jesus, because I think part of that insecurity is we want to take the credit. When really, if you think about it, we are this letter written by Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's not us. It's God at work there. Do you understand that sometimes I think the Holy Spirit just carries us along and God goes about his business? I like this quote from Corrie ten Boom. Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. And I know many of you where that is the case. I came across this verse the other day when I was wrestling with some things, trying to make some decisions about some things, from Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And you want to make sure that's God's voice. But here's the thing. When I'm near to God, I can hear God. So when I'm pursuing God, when I am reading His Word, when I am praying, when I am with the family of God, with the saints, keeping myself stirred up, when I am near to God, then I can hear God. Then I know which way to go. Sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes it's a whack. I get the L2.4. Okay, God, I will go over there. Kind of like Jonah. But God orchestrates it all. You know, 21 years ago, I clearly heard a call from God to move my family to Utah from Colorado. I'm so thankful that I obeyed. I can look fondly upon the many spiritual families that God has started, even our short time of being here in Utah. So many incredible Jesus stories that we've been involved in over the years. It's just phenomenal. God is moving, and sometimes when you're right in the middle of it, sometimes it can seem like, oh, that's just normal. Things are going on. No, God is moving. The Spirit of God is undeniably at work here in Utah, and we get to be a part of it. I'm so thankful for that. God profoundly affects our lives when we step into that calling. Is this the best thing for us? We tend to shrink back from stepping into out of our comfort zone, but it's often the best thing for us, where we grow, where we learn, where we grow nearer to the Lord, where we're challenged in our faith rather than just coasting along. And the final way to live as a witness is to learn from the past. We can look back at the things that God has done. And Psalm 111:4 says, He causes us to remember His wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. He does. At times I'll remember, oh, this, or I'll meet somebody that I hadn't seen for a while and say, oh, I remember when the Lord saved your soul, when God changed your life. To remember the past, there's lots of things we can learn. There's been a lot of Christians over the years and lots of history. We can look at Christian history, and I think it's important that we do. And part of the perspectives class that kind of helped us decide on doing this little mini-series, there's a perspective class that the pastors went through. And in that, they really did a pretty good delve into some history, some Christian history. It's just so important to know what God has done with different people groups over the years, just to see, oh, that's Jesus. That's a movement of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit moved here, this guy over here, this person over here, this woman over there, and we can see that through history. I'm just going to touch on one of my favorite characters, because there's so many from the Old Testament characters all the way through the book of Acts on into new Christianity that you and I are living out today. We have lots of data, and it's incredibly fascinating. This one person, Nicholas von Zinzendorf, in the 1700s. I want to talk about the Moravians a little bit. In the 1700s, Count Zinzendorf, who is considered the grandfather of the modern missionary movement, is a compassionate man that learned about persecuted Protestants in Europe and offered to provide a place of refuge for these people. So these people were persecuted, and he brought them onto a piece of land, and he became their pastor, and they began this city in the 1700s, 1720s. In 1727, there was a real movement of God's Spirit. It's often referred to as a Moravian Pentecost, if you will, and the community flourished. And as you study out their community, it's just unbelievable. They had shared vocation and communal economy, everything. Everybody threw everything. They're all a part of this. They had creative music and daily Bible texts that everyone read and memorized. Their prayer life was absolutely incredible. Hourly intercession and prayer days. They are known for a prayer chain that lasted for over 100 years. a prayer chain, I'll say it again, a prayer chain that lasted for over 100 years. You and I could be part of the answered prayer from that for over 100 years. They had a heart to reach the world. And in 1732, the first missionaries were sent from their community. And eventually, they would have tremendous influence on many people groups throughout the world. These Moravians and their love for Jesus, it just spread everywhere. They even influenced people like Wesley and William Carey. In 150 years, converts outnumbered members 2-1. In 200 years, they sent out nearly 3,000 missionaries. I want to be like a Moravian, all in for Jesus. But we can learn from these people and the life that they led and how they loved each other and how that love and the Spirit of God moved all over the world. Here's an artist's rendition of Valentine Haidt created this painting. And at first glance, you'd think, wow, this is a scene out of Revelation. This is beautiful. We look into the future. If we could see into the future, we could see people from all different people groups at the foot of Christ. And come to find out that these people, the title of this painting is First Fruits. And these are actually people, and we know their names, most of them, except I think one or two of the little ones there. We know their names. And when the artist actually created this painting, these are first fruits from the missionaries when they went to different countries. This would be the first fruits, the first people that came to Christ. First people won to Christ with their missionary efforts. So all these different people groups, real people with names. And the interesting thing is, when this painting was done, all these people had physically died. So really, kind of what you get here is a live portrait at the feet of Christ. Because of the missionaries, they're with Christ. Every single one of those people. The people that you witness to, one day, will be part of that scene. Again, I'm not trying to pressure you into that. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit is moving. You get to be a part of that. Don't miss out on being a witness for Christ. Remember, you are a witness. You don't have to do calisthenics. You are a witness right now. May we be men and women that live for Christ. You know, many Jesus lovers have come before us, and I hope that many more will come after us. Pray and ask God to use you. One last verse. I forgot to set my timer, so I'm sure I'm right on time. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. I love that verse. You know, it's as if we're in a grand ticker tape parade, just throwing candy, just throwing the truth, sowing seeds for God. The parade of God. And in summary, four ways to be a witness. Have compassion for people. Maybe slow down a little bit and care about people. Think about people. Acknowledge Jesus. Give him credit. Say his name out loud at the workplace. If you get in trouble, we'll try to figure it out. Live by the Spirit. You may need to be near to God to hear God, to be in step with God. You need to be near to God. You can be in his word. Live in a life of faith. Be involved in his work. Be involved in his missions. Be involved in this Christ-like life. That is absolutely the best thing for you. There's careers out there, but they're nothing like running hard for Jesus. And learn from the past. Lots of people have gone before us. God used them mightily. I trust he'll use us as well, and I'm excited to see what he'll do. be a witness for Jesus. I'm going to pray, and the band will come up, and we'll sing another song. Lord God, I love you. I thank you that you're so good to us. I thank you that you help us with every little thing that we need. I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Would you really write your letter, us, Lord? By you have to do it, Lord. Write your letter on our hearts so others can see it, so it's undeniable. I praise you, and I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you that we get to sing to you. I thank you that you have good plans for each and every one of us. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.